Okay, so today we're going to go into Yishtabach, and with this close out Suga de Zimra. So Shimon Schwab tells us, as we explained, Rav Shomer corresponds to the entrance of the Ulam, Suga de Zimra corresponds to the actual Ulam. And now as we conclude Suga de Zimra with the Brach of Yishtabach, we will have figuratively passed through the exit door of the Ulam and find ourselves facing the entrance to the Heichal. And as we know in the Heichal, we'll get more into that in the next bunch of weeks, there are three Kalim there. And as we said, we figuratively take leave of the Ulam with Yishtabach and prepare to enter into the Heichal of the king with these three major Kalim. We find three references to this in the three combined words of Kel and Melech. We say, Yishtabach Shem Chalad Malkeinu HaKel HaMelech. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem Kel Melech. And then at the end we say, Melech Kel Chei Olamim. And the reason Yishtabach does not start with Baruch Atah Hashem is because it's the counterpart of Baruch Sha'amar. And as such, it's therefore a Brocha Hasmucha L'Chavrata, which does not open with a Baruch Atah Hashem. And the Tefillah is the closing Brocha of Psuga de Zimra, similar to the Brocha of Yahalalucha, which is the closing Brocha of Halal, which also, for the same reason, does not begin with the word Baruch, because it's connected back to the opening Brocha. So who wrote Yishtabach? So I put that up on the board so we could visualize it a little. Rispero tells us, Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu, from the word Shimcha Lad Malkeinu, HaMelech, the first letters tell us that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who composed the first half of Yishtabach. And then the Ben Ishchai tells us that those who daven Nusach Svard find that they say, Kel HaDos, Borei Kol Neshomos, Ribon Kol HaMasim, HaBocher B'Shir Yizimra, Melech Kel Chei Olamim. Well, the Ben Ishchai left out that word, I guess. So yes, there is a yachid, you're right. So the aleph from kel is for, and then the vase from borei, the resh from ribon, the hay from habocher, and the mem from melech spells out Avraham, to tell us that Avraham Avinu is the one who wrote the end of the bracha. And we start the bracha, we say, Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu, Hakel HaMelech HaGadol VaKadosh, and then Bashmayim Uvaretz. And the proper syntax is that it's three phrases. It's Yishtabach Shem Chalad Malkeinu, may your name, our king, be praised forever. Hakel HaMelech HaGadol VaKadosh, the all-powerful, great, and holy king. Bashamayim uvaretz, in heaven and in earth. Ki lechon no Hashem Malkeinu v'olkei avoseinu. The word no usually translates as beautiful. However, the real meaning is it's fitting or appropriate. Similar to the usage of Kala no v'chasuda, which in the opinion of Beis Hillel tells us it's a fitting kala for the chasen. Similarly, in this phrase, we list 15 expressions of praise to Hashem, all of which we are saying are befitting of Him, of befitting of Hashem. We say, Shiru Shvacha Halel V'Zimra Ozum Emshola. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, following the Shita of the Rokeach, that while these 15 praises that begin with the word Shir Shvach and culminate with the words Brachos Vodos need not be recited in one breath, as we do with the 10 sons of Haman, one should be careful, though, not to make any interruptions between them. And these 15 praises correspond to the numerical value of the name of the Yud and the Hey of Hashem, which the Moral tells us comes from the Pasuk of Ki Vika Hashem Tzur Olamim. Olamim is Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And Chazal tell us Hashem created Olam Hazeh with the Hey, in Olam Haba with the Yud. And these 15 praises, while they clearly resemble synonyms, actually all have different meanings of their own. However, the exact definition of each of these, as they apply to Hashem, eludes us. And the Baruch Shomer tells us, he says, we list all these praises here. But the Gemara in Brachos tells us there was once a chazan who got up and said, Akel, HaMelech, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaNor, VaAdir, and Rav Chanina got very upset at him and said to him, did you cover all of these praises? And his kavanah was that we make a whole list of praises, it looks as if we've listed everything there is about Hashem, and there's no more. And if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had used the words of Akel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, we wouldn't even mention those. So therefore, how do we in Yishtabach go ahead and make this extensive list of praises? And he explains that perhaps the only kapeda, the only issue is the Shemoneh Esrei, which is a tefillah of bakoshos, of requests. Those aren't praises. Those are something else, and we'll get there when we get to that. That's not the same thing. When we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, we're requesting things from Hashem. So if we say a lot of praises, what does it look like we're doing? It looks like we're flattering Him, we're trying to bribe Him, so that He'll respond to our requests as we're asking. However, Yishtabach is part of davening where all that we're doing in this part of davening is we're praising Hashem. So there's no problem, therefore, listing more praises, because that's all that this part of davening is really accomplishing. Then we continue with these praises, Netzach, Gedulo, Gvurot, Tehillah, Seferes, Dusha, Malchus, Brachos, Vados, Me'at, Ve'at, Olam. So as we said, this grouping of 15 forms of praise, they belong together. And sometimes when we praise something over and over again, we eventually become tired of it. For instance, if one stands in front of a beautiful view or picture and he praises it over and over again, eventually it loses that appeal. But it's not so in the case of Hashem, whose praises go on forever. And Shimon Schwab tells us it's therefore incorrect for a chassan to start with the words brachos v'hodos. And the Baruch Shammah, who also holds like the Rokeach, says the same thing, that the chazan should either start with kilcha noeh or from the words of Baruch Atta. And therefore, according to them, those chazanim that start with brachos v'hodos are incorrect. However, the Zohar writes that there's really only 13 praises. And those 13 praises culminate before brachos v'hodos, and therefore, based on that, any chazan who starts with brachos v'hodos is working with the Zohar. And Rishim Shin Pinkus also says it's 13 praises, and their 13 praises are kineged, the 13 midos, Yud Gimel midos of Rachmim of Hashem. And then we go Baruch Ata Hashem, Kel Melech Gadol Batishbachos, Kel Hodos Adon Anaflos. Now this closing bracha contains three statements. The first one is that Hashem is Gadol Batishbachos, He's great in His praises. In human terms, when one is praised as the best, the smartest, the subject of such exclamation becomes lost under the praises. In the end, the person's praises have become exhausted. Not so when it comes to Hashem, that the more we praise Him, the more we realize that we have not said anything. He becomes Gadol Batishbachos. He is greater than any possible praises could describe. And Shimon Schwab illustrates this with Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe was 120 years old at the end of his life, he says he only began at that point to see Hashem's greatness. As he says, At hachilosa laharos es avdecha es gadolcha ves yodcha achazaka. Only now, on this last day, basically, of my life, now is when you started to show me your greatness. The second statement of this bracha is that he's Kel Hodos, he's the Hashem, he's the God of thanksgiving. And this means not only do we offer thanksgiving to Hashem, we thank Him for giving us the idea of thanksgiving. And we once mentioned that in Modim Derabbanan we say Al Shanachnu Modim Lach, which we explained as meaning that you gave us, you put in us the concept of being grateful, you put that concept into our hearts. And there, as here, we bless Hashem by saying Baruch Kel Hodos. Now, no one is born with a natural impulse of gratitude for being alive. It's a natural feeling that we take life for granted, because as long as one can ever remember, he's always been alive. And therefore, this feeling of gratitude, it only comes gradually with maturity, and it's a gift from Hashem. And if one's life ever becomes endangered and he survives, then he feels grateful, he exclaims, Baruch Hashem, I am alive. So here we thank Hashem for giving us again that gift of feeling gratitude to Him for the life and its blessings that He's given us, without having to ever be reminded by the threat of losing them that we have what we need to be grateful for. And I actually just was reading a story over Shabbos. Someone who, I guess he was, you know, he was a sort of a mentor in a yeshiva a little bit, and he was, you know, had Friday night, he used to walk with one of the Talmidim there a lot. And he once said to him, you know, and this person, this mentor, had lost his parents at a younger age. And he once said to this person, he said, you know, what do you think about when you say modim? And he said, you know, finally answered, I don't know. I don't really think about anything. So he said, okay, for next week, I'm giving you a homework. You have to have five things that you think about during modim. And sure enough, next Friday night, they went for the walk. He brought up the topic again. He says, so what are your five things? And he started to list. He listed one, he listed two. And then the third one, he said, I'm grateful that I have my parents. And he stopped him there and he said, you know what? It's good that you realize that, because most of us, unfortunately, take them for granted. And it's only once they're no longer here that we then realize what we had. And, you know, unfortunately, the mentor only lived a short while later and died at the age of 44. And it was something that, again, you know, we take things for granted, especially things that we don't remember ever being without. It's the norm, and if it's normal, therefore, we don't remember to thank Hashem for them. And the third statement here is that he's Adon Anaflos. He's the master of all the wonders. Throughout history, he's shown the world myriads of wonders and miracles, and it can continue at any moment. He's an inexhaustible source of wonders and miracles. We then say, Abocha B'shirei Zimra, Hashem has chosen B'nai Yisrael to deliver his praises. After completing Psukah de Zimra, where we express the praises of Hashem in the name of all of creation, from the highest forms to the lowest forms, we thank Hashem in this bracha that he chose us to be that source, the ones to deliver his praises. And then Yishtabach closes, Mel Kelchei Ho'olamim, Rav Shimon Schwab says that Hashem is the life source of all time periods of existence. He says, had it said Olamos, it would have meant worlds. But Olamim expresses the idea of all time forever. The Mishnah Berurah, however, disagrees and says Olamim is plural, and that does refer to the world, meaning that Hashem rules over both this world and in the world of Olam Haba. And with this, we now conclude the Psukah de Zimra portion of Davening, and the Shliach Tzibur follows it with a Kaddish, which we had mentioned is the elevator in davening. And after every single section, it either brings us up a floor to the next level of davening, or once we hit Shemoneh Esrei, the Kaddishes will start to bring us back down, floor by floor, back to the ground floor, to the end of davening. And Bez Hashem, not next week, because due to the Achnasa Sefer Torah and Rosh Chodesh, I was asked perhaps not to give the Vod next week for timing. But the following week after, we will then start the Berachos Kriya Shema. The story and the homework. So, there was this person, he was standing by the front door of the famed Rav, Shimshon David Pinkus, the Rav of Ofakim. And he hesitantly knocked on the door. And he came, he had a lot of pain in his life as he was married for 5 years, and they've tried everything. They davened, they learned Torah, they gave tzedakah, received brachos from Gedolim, and nothing seemed to work. They were still childless. And Rav Pinkus was known to have a keen understanding of Torah, Tefillah, the ways of Hashem. And he thought maybe, you know, he can point them in the right direction. And lost in his thoughts, Rav Pinkus answered the door himself, invited him in. And, you know, they started to talk. And his emotions overcame him, and he began to open his heart to Rav Pinkus. The tears of pain, frustration. And he says that Rav Pinkus saw into his heart. He listened. He showed me sympathy, compassion, but he says, that's not what I came for. At this point, I need answers. And Rav Pinkus seemed to grasp this. And he says, I understand how serious this is. He says, come back to my home tonight at 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll see what I could do for you at that time. So, taken aback, I smiled and said, okay, you know what, I'll be back. Puzzled that what's the difference that will change at 2 in the morning that has not changed over 5 years, but you know what? He was willing to do anything to find the Yeshua. And sure enough, at 2 a.m., you know, he's the only one that's making any noise out there. The whole town is sleeping. And the lights in the Rav's house were still on. And Rav Pinkus answers the door, dressed as if he's ready to leave the house. And he says, I must have looked confused. And Rav Pinkus says, no, we're not staying here. Let's go in the car. So I followed him into the car, trying to imagine where in the world we could be going, and we set out on the road, and I decided I'm not going to ask him for any answers. I trusted him. And we were sitting there, and I was wondering what type of school we were going to get involved in, and it soon became clear we weren't going anywhere in the city. The streetlights were few and far between, and ultimately stopped appearing entirely. Soon we had exited the town, and were driving along a dark, silent desert road. There couldn't have been a soul around for miles, and it was then that the Rav stopped his car. He says, why are we stopping? You'll see. First, please come out with the car with me. The two of us stood in the open desert, only the soft light of the moon allowing me to see anything at all. From the little I could perceive of Pinkus's face, he looked solemn as he placed a hand on my shoulder. He says, right now you're all alone in the desert. The only one with you is Hashem. Cry out to him, Moshe. Beg and plead with him to answer your prayers. Speak openly, because that's the only way you'll be answered. I will return in a half hour to take you home. Speechless, I watched as the Rav disappeared in his car, and I watched as he turned on the engine and drove away. I was alone, perhaps more alone than I'd ever been. Something about the quiet, starry desert night struck a powerful chord deep within me. And without preamble, I began to daven. I opened myself in a way I had never done before, begging Hashem to hear my tefillos and grant us a child. It seemed as though no time had passed at all when I heard the Rav's car returning. Rav Pinchas emerged from the car and approached me slowly. Moshe, I see that you've prayed, but where are the tears? You have to pray with all of your heart, Moshe. Out here, there's only Hashem, your Father, and He's your only hope. If you want your tefillos to pierce the heavens, you have to feel this. That's why I brought you here. And without a further word, the Rav returned to his car and drove off a second time, leaving me stunned and very much alone. His words had sunk in deeply, though. It was indeed only myself and Hashem out here. And it was He alone who could help me, and He was waiting for me to truly unlock my heart. I took a deep breath, allowing the crisp desert night to close around me. It wasn't too hard to imagine that I was the only person in the entire world at this moment, that I was the only human being standing alone in an endless rolling wilderness with thousands of bright pinpoints of light shining down from an unfathomable distance. Surely the creator of that universe was listening right now, waiting to hear what his son had to say. I'm here, my son. I've always been here. Speak to me. With renewed strength, I resumed praying, shaking with passion. I cried out to Hashem about my hardships, my disappointments, the deep anguish Chani and I were going through. Then suddenly, without warning, the dam burst. Tears began to stream down my face, and I felt years of frustration and pain flowing from my eyes in torrents. My neshama soared higher and higher, as though it had been freed to return to the heavens from which it had come, to bang at the gates and throw itself before the Holy Throne. My entire being was filled with a sensation I had never felt before, complete, unobstructed attachment to Hashem. The words that emerged from my lips were an expression of the deepest pain. I was like an injured child holding on tightly to his father and refusing to let go until his wound is salved. Rav Pinchas returned a while later. When he approached me this time, his gaze encompassed the tears drying on my face, the peace in my heart, and the clarity of my soul. He placed a warm hand on my shoulder once again and said, "This is what I meant, Moshe. Now you will see Hashem answers your tefillos." I followed him back to the car as though in a dream. I felt with deep certainty that my prayers had been heard and that my mission was accomplished. 10 months later, these feelings were confirmed with the arrival of a beautiful, healthy baby boy. Our tears had penetrated the heavens and had been gathered in by Hashem, who had only been waiting for me to storm past the barriers and open my heart to Him. So we see again just another instance that when we really believe and really feel that Hashem is the only source that we have, and we open to Him as a child does, when the child, I have my almost year-old son, and, when he wants to be held, he's there, and he'll yell, and he'll scream, and he'll pull on my leg till, I give in and pick him up, whether I want to pick him up or not. And that's how we have to really approach Hashem that same fashion, that, we have to kick and yell and grab on and say, "You know what, Hashem, you are my father. You're the only one." And as in the story, Hashem will come and answer us as He does with all His children. And the homework, obviously, is to focus on the Brach of Yishtabach and to look back at the entire Pesukah de Zimra of what we've gone through and accomplished as we head into the Heichal, into the Birchus Kriyashma.